Among the many stories early this past week about activists nationwide demanding that their senators take seriously demands not to mindlessly kill Obamacare, it was just one. Six arrested at the offices of West Virginia's Shelley Moore Capito. Kayla Parker is the young pastor of Charleston's Unitarian Universalist congregation, and she was among those led from the protest in handcuffs. I hope the handcuffs are off, and I welcome you to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for the welcome, and they are indeed off.
That's good. So many Americans, I think, are feeling kind of hopeless right now. What made you think you should take part in this direct protest knowing you were likely to be arrested?
Yeah, I also have those feelings of deep hopelessness and just kind of overwhelm of what our world has become and what it is right now. And certainly since November, I think a lot of us have had that feeling increase. Mm-hmm. And I honestly was just lucky enough to be a part of a community of folks who care a lot and who are able to be courageous. And I think when I just contemplate the state of the world on my own, it's really easy to be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But when I'm in a room with activists and faith leaders and we're all thinking together about what can make a difference, it seems a little easier. And it's easier to say yes to being courageous and taking some risks, because it's not just about me, you know, it's about mm-hmm. the people who I'm accountable with, who I'm engaging with. And I think, honestly, the other thing is just being in my congregation and in my community and hearing really horror stories of how hard people's lives already are and how much harder they would be if this bill had gone into effect. Mm-hmm. From that, any small thing I did just felt so necessary, because I really do feel like it's my role to care for other people, and really I think it's all of our roles to care for other folks. So just living into that connection on a lot of different levels was helpful.
Give us a sense of what happened, how things played out on Monday for you and the group that you were with.
Yeah, so our demand was that Senator Capito take a public stand on voting no on the AHCA bill. So we, you know, went into the senator's office and let their staff know that that's what we were there to do, and just had conversations with her staff and then amongst ourselves and with sort of our audience through a Facebook Live video. We talked about how important it is nationally. You know, the CBE released the number about 22 million folks, but also how important it was for West Virginians particularly. West Virginia was one of the states that was most positively affected and that gained the most insurance through the Affordable Health Care Act. It was 170,000 West Virginians who would have lost their insurance. So we talked about that, and we read stories about health care that we had gathered from the community by canvassing and by having a table at our Pride Parade that happened in Charleston, West Virginia, about a month or two ago.
A part of what makes this story so inspiring is the change of heart Senator Capito has had on this craven health care bill. Did this feel like a victory for you and the other activists there?
Yeah, it's definitely a mixed bag, and we're feeling kind of like we're gaining. You know, it was a step forward for sure, but we also are very aware that in the past, things like this have been delayed, and then they're sort of taken into the even darker corners and pushed through really quickly. So we're both feeling good about being able to get the bill delayed and having her make a public statement about saying no, and are also really aware of the fact that she waited until after it was announced that the bill was being delayed to make a public statement, and that it's, you know, it's very likely that more could be happening with this bill in the future that we'll need to take more action with. But we certainly feel like it's a step in the right direction, and we had a big community potluck dinner last night, and, you know, both celebrated and fortified for the resistance ahead.
Why were you arrested?
Technically, we were arrested because we had made the clear statement that we would be staying in Senator Capito's office until she publicly made a statement that she would vote no on this bill. And by the end of the business day, she had not made that statement, and her office is actually in a privately owned building in Charleston. It was the building owner who said, you know, you can't be here past 5. And because we were refusing to leave, we were then subsequently arrested.
I see. Kayla, how does citizen activism intersect with your own ministry in the church?
I mean, I think it just has a lot to do with caring for my congregants. I heard or read about a metaphor once that, you know, in a lot of ways, pastors are kind of gardeners, and we have to care for the individual plants, but we also have to care for the soil that they're growing in. And, you know, sometimes if that soil that the plants or the vegetables or the fruit or whatnot is growing in, it's going to affect all of the plants. So that there are times when we're caring for each individual, and there's time that we're needing to care for the environment that they're in and making sure that that's also healthy. And this was just such a clear example of really needing to be caring for and advocating for the structures that my congregants and my community live in. So for me, it then, you know, the pastoral and the prophetic feel pretty closely intertwined when I think about ministry in that way.
Mm-hmm. Does it frustrate you that so much mainstream coverage of faith-based activism focuses on conservative political Christianity? And I'll tell you, it does me.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem in terms of trying to reclaim what faith is and does in the United States. I am heartened by the fact that as sort of individualized media becomes really the way that a lot of folks are getting media, it does seem like at least folks in my circle know it's happening more, but they're totally true that in the mainstream media, that's religious is denoted with the right, and that's just not true.
Yeah, that's right.
I know that your radio show does a lot of work to try and change that misconception, and I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. What do you think it will take for progressive voices of faith to more fully take their place at the table?
Yeah, I think some of it has to do with just making our own tables, you know, and saying, you know, we might not be included in these conversations, but we're going to be showing up and doing the right thing. I think a lot of problems we have of kind of mainstream progressive religion dying is that we, in many cases, chose to be less relevant. So I think any time we can choose to be relevant and to do what we're called to be doing, to care for our people and our world, I think that brings us to the table, or at least it has us creating the table that we're wanting to be at.
We know that progressive voices have not been as strong as they should have been and as numerous as they should have been through some really tough times in the past. And
right.
You're really kind of blazing a new trail there and saying maybe we can do it a different way. And that's why it's important for me to know what you think about it.
Well, I don't know if I can take credit for doing all of that, certainly. And, you know, I've learned how to do anything I'm doing from mentors and senior colleagues who have been fighting this fight for a while. You know, and I also am hopeful that right now and since November, there does seem to be a heightened and deepened awareness of the problems we're facing. And I think, you know, more of us, and certainly myself, has been more drawn to be more engaged since then. So my hope comes from that mm-hmm. although it's unfortunate that we are where we are, I think a lot of us, myself included, have woken up a little bit, and you know, we all like to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's hard to live into discomfort and to take risks. And I I think in the past several months and certainly this year, it's become aware that that's really necessary.
Kayla, what would you say to listeners who feel strongly about the moral aspects of what's going on around us, but are hesitant to get involved in fighting for change? Maybe they don't know where to begin. What would you suggest?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak about this from very personal experience because that's where I was just a couple months ago. And for me, it really was about being in relationship with folks who were starting to engage in this work or who have been engaging in this work for a while. So I would say, you know, find the folks in your community who have been fighting the fight for a while and just show up to a couple meetings or gatherings or actions, events they're doing in a pretty low, you know, low committal, low energy way. It certainly isn't necessary, nor would it actually be appropriate for those of us who are newer to this to kind of jump into the limelight or take a lead role right at the beginning. It's really important to just build relationships with folks who have been in this fight for a while and to learn from them. So I would say do some research on who's doing cool work in your area and just start hanging out with them. And, you know, before you know it, you'll be getting arrested in your senator's office. So.
Kayla Parker is pastor of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Charleston, West Virginia. Last Monday, she was one of six activists arrested at the office of Senator Shelley Moore Capito while protesting Capito's support of the Senate Obamacare repeal bill. After the bill was pulled from consideration, at least for now, the senator announced that she would not support it in its present form. Kayla, thank you for sharing your insights, your humility, and your advice. It's very helpful for us, and we appreciate you being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a great honor.